I understand, Winston, that as a result of your dog, that magnificent Groodle Millie, going to training school, that you are now recommending that everybody should treat their team like dogs. Please explain.
Certainly, Gary. Millie the Groodle, we anticipated, would be a bit of a monster to manage. We'd always trained our other dogs quite easily, but we reckoned Millie needed special training. So we took Millie along to dog training, and there was a master at it, Dennis McGorry. I was very impressed by the way Dennis went about it. In fact, I thought everything he did had real relevance to us in training our team members. So I asked him, first of all, what's the most important thing in training a dog?
Consistency is pretty important. And when I say consistency, the style of training that you're using so that the dog will understand, but certainly the commands that you use. It's difficult to expect a dog to learn a new command if you keep changing the goalposts. Like one minute the command is drop, then the next minute it's lay down. The dog will get confused. So consistency is a pretty important element.
And when it comes to training our team members, consistency is the most important element. You've got to be consistent. First of all, with training, you can't wax hot and cold. You've got to make sure you train and train regularly. Then there has to be consistency in the way you train and what you're training your team in. You can't say one thing today and something else tomorrow as the occasion changes or as your mood demands. You've got to make sure that people understand what to do, how to do it. It's consistency they require because most people are process workers. They love to follow a process. You can't, as Dennis says, change the goalposts. And I learned a bit more from Dennis. Another similarity between your team and a dog. You see, a dog is a pack animal.
That's correct, and a lot of people don't realise this. Basically, all of our breeds stem from what we call a wild animal or a pack animal, and certain elements in the breeds have remained to this day. Their ability to scavenge for food if something drops on the ground. They're an early warning device if somebody creeps onto the property and checks the gas meter at the front door, they'll let you know. These elements still remain in our dogs today. And before we actually start training dogs with commands and so forth, I think it's important to understand you're dealing with a wild animal. And that's the key to that most important facet of the training, and that is they need a pack leader, or an alpha leader if you like. They come into our house as a cute, cuddly pet, and they look around, and if they don't see a pack leader, they feel compelled to take up the position themselves.
So you've got to become the boss.
You're the boss at all times. That's where the consistency comes in. Little elements like letting the dog onto your bed, letting them go through doorways first, feeding any of your food to them. While we think it's a way to their hearts, it's a way to win their respect, it's the worst thing in the world that you can do, because they've got to turn around from that and think, well, this guy's not strong enough to be the leader, I'm more important than him.
And that applies to your team, doesn't it? Your team want to be led by you because you are the boss. You are the pack leader. So you've got to set the standards. You've got to tell them what you expect and make sure that they measure up. And you've got to lead by example too. It's not do as I say, it's do as I do. Leadership of your team is most important. And you can't get too close. I mean, you might let your team onto your bed, but you can't be both the boss and a close friend. You can be friendly, but not a friend. I don't believe you can share your inner self with them or they with you. You've got to have a distance. You've got to have the respect that a pack leader, a team leader, always deserves, merits, and should command. Remember that ancient Chinese proverb, the fish rots from the head. Okay, then I asked Dennis how he actually went about the training.
That would be best described as repetition and reward. So we show the dog the exercise and we reward him whenever he gets it remotely right.
So when the dog gets it right, what do you do?
Certainly reward. One of the things I remember as a child, most of all, that I had a strong father. He was a pack leader of our house, but he was constantly telling us to do this, do that, do that. But there was never much reward. I feel sure that if the reward had have been there, the relationship would have been better. I would have learnt quicker. I would maybe even had more respect. So I sort of impose this on the handlers, that when the dog gets some element right, give them heaps of praise. There's no such thing as too much praise when something resembles the correct way to do the exercise.
And do they become reliant on that praise? Do you have to keep it up virtually forever?
I think what happens is that the handler gets into the habit of praising. So it's not something that consciously you've got to be aware every time the dog does it, I give him a pat or I give him a treat. Certainly with treat training, we wean that off after a while so that the result becomes more habit for the dog than doing it as a result of getting a reward. But as far as praise goes, I think it's pretty important for it to be ongoing every time the dog does something right.
What about if the dog does something wrong?
We tend to go over the top with discipline, and too much discipline with a dog, all it really achieves is that it breaks down the bond between the dog and the handler. Discipline is required, but discipline can be just a case of a growly voice like, ah, no, something like that, and you'll find that you get a good result out of that. But as far as pulling heads off dogs with chains, that's antiquated and we don't go for that much anymore.
And that growly voice reminds me that you have a couple of other voices, don't you, to let dogs know how they're doing.
That's quite right. This is a catch from school days where some teachers you'd listen more to than others. The teacher that just had the monotone voice tend to find it difficult to concentrate for a whole session. And this is the same dogs relating to handlers. If the tone of the voice is just the same all the way, I think they switch off. I don't think they concentrate as well. So we offer three tones of voice. There's a complimentary tone or a praise tone, and that's with a happy tone of voice, which is good boy, well done. You'll find that you get a great response out of that. The corrective tone or the discipline, we've already discussed that. That's that growly voice. And in the middle, we use a command tone, and that's a serious tone of voice, getting the dog to realise that I want this done. It's an exercise. It's sit or it's stay or it's heel, but you're saying it with authority.
Wow, there's so much there that's directly translatable to the way you train your team. Repetition and reward. You've heard me say how important I believe team meetings are when you do some role play, when you get people to do and say the things that you want them to do and say. You've got to be serious about that, but when people get it right, you reward them. Otherwise, why the heck would they bother to do it? There's got to be a what's in it for me for them to get them doing it. So remember this, what gets measured gets done. In other words, if you have the standards, if you have the scripts, if you have the checklist, then you've always got to check and see that they're being used and being used correctly. Once that's done, remember what gets rewarded gets repeated. When your team are doing the right thing, make sure you give them reward, praise and other sorts of rewards. Doesn't always have to be monetary. Praise is pretty important. We don't praise people nearly enough. We're too ready to kick them up the bottom of the spine rather than pat them on the back. And the way you talk to your team conveys how you feel about them. Wow, what Dennis is saying is so important in training your team. But there's something that's even more important.
The other type of training is really me training the handlers. The way I go about that is explanation, demonstration, imitation, EDI. The explanation part is I'll explain why we do this exercise and how we do it. I'll then borrow somebody's dog and by demonstration I'll show them how it's done so they can get the visual impact of it, and then I ask them to imitate that with their own dog. So then they take their dog and do the exercise.
So much of the time you're not really training the dog, are you?
No, it's really about training handlers. It's the easiest thing in the world to blame your dog if the dog's not performing well, but in general terms it's what the handler's doing with the dog and the consistency and the reward and aspects like that.
As Dennis says, it's the easiest thing in the world to blame your dog. And it's the easiest thing in the world to blame your staff when things aren't happening the way you want them to happen. But really, that's your problem. You've got to make sure that you communicate what you want done effectively and efficiently so that the staff can do it. You've got to explain, you've got to demonstrate, and then you've got to get the team to imitate, to do it until they get it right. And to make sure you're good at this, can I recommend that you undertake some training in training? If you're not confident or good at doing it, if you're not good at explaining, if you're not good at getting people to do it the way you want them to do it, if you just don't understand training, then go and get some training in training. It's amazing how you can learn the skills you need to have to make sure your team really become a top-trained team. Now, thinking that you may be thinking to yourself, Winnow hasn't seen my team, they're impossible, I thought I should ask Dennis.
Are there any dogs that are difficult to train or almost impossible?
There certainly are, and it's probably wrong of me to pick out a couple of breeds, but in general terms, I find the Beagles can be difficult because they've got such a strong sense of smell. They like to put that nose on the ground, and it can be difficult to get them to focus on the handler. Little Jack Russells can be tough little critters. They're full of beans, and I often liken them to a Rottweiler that's never seen themselves in the mirror. To pick out a couple of breeds, yeah, I'd say they're as hard as any.
But at the end of the day, they can be trained.
They certainly can. Someone asked me the other day, what's the easiest dog to train? And without thinking, I said, an ugly dog, and probably should have thought that through a bit more. What I basically meant was that the cute dogs, the pretty dogs, the handsome dogs, you can bet that they've been spoiled along the way before you start training, whereas that poor ugly guy that's come from the pound, he's had no favours, so he's just going to listen to you and do what you tell him.
I love that, eh? Jack Russell is a Rottweiler that hasn't looked in a mirror. What's the relevance to us here? Well, everybody is trainable. Sometimes it's a little more difficult. Sometimes you've got to understand what people's problems are and so on. But you can train them. And the beaut part is it'll be the most unlikely of people that respond the best. People that might have the right approach but mightn't have the qualifications often lap up training. They appreciate you giving them the information and the assistance to help them do their jobs. But everybody will respond to training. Sometimes some people are just a little more difficult than others. What I've learnt about training dogs is, as Dennis says...
It's very much like training people, Winston. There's a number of elements that we like to have. We like to get respect from whoever's showing us a task. We like to get acknowledgement when we get it right. So it's a reward-based thing, very similar to dealing with people, though.
And that reward isn't only the treats, it's the praise of making the dog feel good about herself, making the person feel good about themselves.
I think that's a very important aspect. If you like working for somebody, I think there's a pretty fair chance that you're going to try and do the best job that you can.
Wise words from Dennis McGrory of Four Paws Dog Obedience. You can phone him on 03 9560 6778 or from overseas, 613 9560 6778.